Is your law firm working from 100 different spreadsheets? If so, this one is for you. Hi guys, and welcome back to the Law Firm Marketing Club podcast. I'm Sophia Stancer, the community manager, and today we are going to be talking about all things CRM with our new trusted partner, Simon McNidder. Simon is a CRM database headache solver, and he's our go-to expert on all things data. Simon has worked as an in-house CRM expert in law firms for over 25 years, and we know that this is a daunting topic and definitely an area which loads of law firms need to improve on and need advice on. So I'm hoping that you find today's episode useful, and don't forget to subscribe. So welcome, Simon, to the Law Firm Marketing Club podcast. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
So Simon, do you want to kick things off by telling us a little bit about your background and what you do with CRM and data?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Sophia. So I've been in CRM for about 30 years. It's always been in professional services, accountants and lawyers, mostly lawyers. I started, I fell into PricewaterhouseCoopers, as it is known now. I started at Pricewaterhouse in the Birmingham region. And when they merged with Coopers and Librand, I said to the new head of marketing, I said, all our database, our data, our mail shots, events, it's all duplicated. And he looked up from his desk and pointed at me and said, you've got that job. And I remember thinking, stupid thing to say. Well, why did I do that? I wanted like the sexy end of marketing, like PR and stuff like that. But he was obviously a far better manager than I knew, than I gave him credit for. And he knew me far better than I obviously knew myself. And I just loved it. I didn't even realize that sort of databases or marketing databases, as they were known then, that even existed as a career. So I sorted out the Birmingham region or the Midlands region of PwC, their data. And I thought, I really like this. I'm going to go hunt for a job. And Pinsent's were offering or Pinsent Masons, as they are now, they went through five mergers while I was there. We were looking at a sort of a marketing database manager role. And I thought, that's it. I want that. So I thought, right, I'll apply to that. What actually happened was I put my CV into Michael Page in the morning or the afternoon, one of these two, because it's a long, long time ago now, 25 years ago at least. And the head of marketing or BD in Pinsent's put the job request into exactly the same recruitment agent that morning or afternoon. I can't remember which. And all that recruitment agent's done, easiest money they've ever earned is just take one CV and hand it over to the person that just asked for it. Loved it. Took them through five mergers. About 10 years ago, was about 12 years ago now, they were merged with Masons, a big law firm in Scotland. And I put my name in for voluntary redundancy because everyone had it. And they came back and said, they haven't got an equivalent. And I thought, oh, I'm stuck here forever. But generally, we sorted out the merger. And then I jumped ship to be a consultant or contractor, however you like to view it, to help law firms with their CRM systems and anything, and sending mail shots and doing the data, all that sort of stuff. During lockdown, and I remember my granny used to tell me when I was a little boy, she said, devil makes work for idle hands, Simon. And lo and behold, while four-day weekends were available during lockdown, I thought to myself, you know, I can do these CRM systems for law firms. I think I can do a better job than the great big systems. Not more features, not faster, not flashy or anything like that, but just how do law firms work? And I thought, I can do this. And it's a all-in-one bundle, I thought, because nobody gets up in the morning and says, I want to use a marketing database. Everybody moans about data, and it's on the marketing team usually, because the supplier will give you the software. And I thought, I can bundle all this up into one and offer it as a service to law firms, from the piece of software to managing it to helping it and all that sort of stuff. So that's how I've got to where I am.
Wow, what a history. I mean, you're clearly extremely qualified to talk to us about this subject today. And we have a lot of conversations with law firms looking to improve their marketing databases all the time. It's a big, as I'm sure you know, huge challenge. Why do you think it is that firms are starting to prioritise their planning with CRM and data more so these days?
Well, as firms get more used to tech, and they realized, you know what, we're in a relationship business. How are we managing the relationships of these contracts? You just can't do that in Excel, or people having post-it notes on the backs of the doors, or even with MailChimp or any other email tool. It's one of these tools that or systems, there's a fair few of them, that just say, we all know this same person. And it really makes that easier to manage. So, for example, one partner I know, a big client of mine, they were about to visit a chairman of one of their clients. And an alert popped up just before they went to say that one of their colleagues from another department, they never would have bumped into them in the coffee machine or the water cooler or anything like that, had gone on a charity bike ride with this exact same person. Now, just imagine you're that partner and you can go to that client and go, well, how did your bike ride go with XYZ, my colleague? It's things like that that CRM systems allow. And because we manage a relationship, it's not like selling widgets or Mars bars or radiators or anything like that at all. It's not on the sale. It's on the relationship building up to it and then managing that client. And that's what more and more people are realizing, oh, CRM systems can help us with that, can they? Now, of course, as anyone that buys one of these tools knows, that they don't just do that. If you've got really inefficient systems and you don't want to do much, they'll just do that slightly better. But it's about understanding the clients and the prospects and the work introducers. And you can't do that without something that looks at everything. So we all use email. And unless someone finds out that I'm emailing their client from another department, nothing's going to tell them. And CRM systems, whatever you want to call them, whatever name they go by, they allow that. And more people are just becoming a bit more aware of it.
So Simon, you touched on spreadsheets a second ago, which made me snigger a bit because we've seen that time and again. And so without naming and shaming, we're all about bringing law firms together at the Law Firm Marketing Club. What are some of the most shocking data and CRM practices that you've seen in law firms, and what are the main barriers to CRM?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So some shocking stories, which I hope resonate with at least some of the listeners. I was working for I'd done a bit of work for a 100-person law firm in the Midlands. And they were saying, we need to start at least, and we've got lists all over the place. Well, it transpired, well, they had about 100 staff, and they had just over 100 lists in the end. And he was just thinking, that's a lot of duplicates. Now, of course, some of them are, these people have been to the golf day in 2020 and 2019 and 2018 and things like that. It's nearly impossible to manage your list of contacts if you've got numerous spreadsheets. One time I was at Pinsent's, and this is going back some time now. We had a fairly senior employment partner go through his list of clients and mark up. In those days, we still had who knew who, because it was the start of these systems. And he was going through, crossing out people's names and saying, well, he doesn't know my client and she doesn't know my client and things like that. And this client was a big PLC client. So you can just imagine all the tentacles that the firm had with that client. It just shows how maybe my client, not the firm's client, some of the views are. So it's those sort of things that really, really stand out as CRM systems can do the job, but you have to allow it to do it. A cracking story I remember, before I had kids, I used to do a lot of Easter working, some holidays and Christmas, because it was ever so quiet in the office. I didn't have kids, so it didn't really matter. I just had the days on other days. One of the partners came in, this was in between a Christmas and New Year break, came down to the department and said, we need to send a mailing out. And I said, we're on a Christmas break, nobody's going to read it. And he said, we just need to send it out. A bit of toing and froing, I sort of thought to myself, right, I'll just go and do it. We sent it to a couple, I don't know, a couple hundred people, can't remember now, good 25 years ago. And he came back a few days later and said, how many people opened it? And I said, not a single one. And you could just see the oh, as his shoulders dropped, and think, oh, I thought that was going to be a real success. We've had other times where been given a list of 25 people, let's say, by a lawyer, and they said, we're doing an event for 25 people. Here they are. And we said, oh, fantastic, this is the attendance list. He said, no, this is the invite list. We said, you might get 5 or 10%, one or two people might turn up to this. And he said, what? No, they'll all turn up. And so what we have to remember is, and what I have to remember as well in my job, is only interesting to me. And that, I don't know, let's just say it's a pension lawyer. That pension, the lawyer, the key piece of news that they thought was very, very important, isn't always top of mind for other the recipients of the emails. So there's some stories that I hope means that whoever's listening or watching this isn't thinking, well, we're alone. No, not at all. Numerous lists I see don't have any names on them and just emails, and there's numerous emails in them. I'm thinking, how are you having duplicate emails in a list? You know, none of the email tools, if they give you the list back, they don't do duplicate emails. You can't send two emails to one person. Oh, do you want another story?
Yes, go on,
Oh
please.
no, the another one. Many, many years ago, events way before the GDPR became popular, but it was still the Data Protection Act. We found out that one of the event team, and it's not here or anyone. This is many, many years ago. One of the event team were taking the email addresses of all the people that were coming to the event and just putting them in the to field and sending an email from their Outlook to all the people in the to say, thanks very much, looking forward to seeing you. And of course, these days you go, sharing all the data. It's not even a dear Jane or a dear John at the top of the email. And that's what these email and CRM systems can do. Now, you did ask me about barriers as well.
Yes.
One big barrier is the lawyers or the partners thinking it's their client, not the firm's client, and I'm not sharing my activity because someone's going to take my client off me and things like that. That's a big thing with CRM systems. They're there to share knowledge and information so that everyone else can benefit from it. We get a huge amount of. I've had some feedback when one of the partners said, "Well, I'm not using the CRM system because none of my new clients are in it." And in the old days, you go, "Well, you have to go and add it then, don't you?" It's not magic, but these days a lot of the systems just look at Outlook, and if you're emailing someone and they email back and you do it enough times, there's enough triggers in the system to go, "Right, we're just going to add this person into the system and add that lawyer as knowing them." So that's another barrier taken off. It is usually people. They come back with things like, I haven't got the time to use this. And you go, actually, it's doing most of it for you. All we want you to do is look at the information it gives you and do something with it. So what you'll find as well is marketing or BD might want, you know what, we really want a CRM system. And then IT go, yeah, but we haven't got the manpower or the headcount to do any of the install or the supporting. So you just have to work around these sorts of things. One firm I've been recently speaking to said, "Well, we'd like this, but we haven't. Our IT haven't got the capacity to manage this." And it was an easy turnaround to say, "Well, yeah, if you buy something massive like Salesforce, you buy the software, you've got to support it." Not wanting to do the self promotion or anything like that, but with Prompto, I thought when I set it up, I thought, "Yeah, that's a barrier. Why don't we just manage it all for you, and then just the IT people just have the code and plunk it in." So it's usually people and time, because law firms have got enough money, they just haven't got enough people or headcount or spare effort and willpower to input these things. So as long as we can get around that, that's most of the barriers taken off.
So in some firms, Simon, we know that you'll have a department who's really hot at using the CRM and looking at the data. And then in another department, the input is they're less diligent with it. So how can you achieve more consistent buy-in throughout a law firm when it comes to CRM? Do you have any top tips that you can share with us?
Yeah, there's a couple of carrots and sticks that we looked at fairly good at chivvying up usage and equaling it out. Now, there's always going to be some teams that are really into these systems. So past experience, the corporate finance type teams, they're always out networking and all that sort of stuff. You look at pensions or maybe the litigation teams or anyone else that's got just big jobs but not very frequent, that they're less popular users. Some of the things that we've done, let's say that a carrot approach, are showing stories of finding someone in the firm that's fairly senior and a good influencer that has had some sort of positive experience from it. But the tech can really help. So we've had good experiences of a sort of a BD leaderboard for lawyers. Who's adding that they've gone for a coffee or they've had a meeting or a phone call or gone networking with the clients? And what we've found is that there are a number of people, a quarter of the firm, for example, are a bit competitive and they want to add these sorts of things in. you get a few that go, I'm going to add it in three times, because we get that as well, just to be nearer the top of the leaderboard. And then you get the people at the bottom that are going, this is just silly. I'm not using it because you've done this. I have actually heard that. I'm not using the system because you put a leaderboard on it. That is just another excuse not to use it. Some of the best approaches, though, are a part of a stick approach. So many, many years ago, when we were first using the system in Pinsent, we were trundling along at a reasonable, we just started, and it was a couple of hundred BD notes going into the system. So I've had a coffee with someone, or I've had a meeting, that sort of thing. And then one month, the usage level, or when I say usage, I mean the adding the BD, that usage level shot up, and then it carried at that high level. And we were there patting ourselves on the back, going, oh, we're really good. We've done a really good job. And thinking, hang on a minute, it's only one team. I think it was one of the teams in the property, the real estate type team at Pinsent's. And we said, well, let's go and find out what's gone on. What happened was the head of the team had said, actually, we need to know what's going in this system, because this is quite key to understand who's doing what with who. You aren't getting your expenses until you put one of these notes in the system, and then you can just staple it off and attach it to your expense claim, for example. And usage just shot up, and you're thinking, oh, what? I thought all that effort you spent ages and ages doing all the effort, all the training, all the hints and tips and stories for the but that's what you want, isn't it? You want one key person, one key influencer to go, this is key, you're all doing it. And lo and behold, it becomes a bit like the time recording system. You have to do it. Now, CRM isn't a have to use system. So you can run reports at the half year and end of year appraisals as well. But there was nothing better than the immediate, I'm not getting my expenses for the sandwich or the taxi or the tube fare to the client unless I put a note on the system. And I think that should boost your usage. Of course, you don't want lawyers using a database. Nobody gets up and goes, oh, I want to use a database today. So punt information over to them via email. Lots of the systems do that now, rather than making a lawyer go into a database, hunt for something that may or not be there, have something delivered straight to their inbox because they live in Outlook.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned showcasing that best practice within the firm, which I think is a really great tip. But how can law firms use CRM to improve client relationships? Have you got any examples of this in practice that might inspire some of our listeners?
Yes, we have. So the best options I can think of that we've had experience with are when a lawyer has the knowledge delivered on a plate near enough in their inbox. So, for example, I gave an example a bit earlier that a partner was about to visit a client to find out that that client had been on a bike ride with one of the colleagues. It's that sort of feeding the information to make it useful. In addition to that, you provide alerts. So yes, that's an alert if something happens, but we all drop the ball. We all forget stuff. So get your system to tell you when things should have happened that haven't. So for example, you've got key clients, you've got key prospects, and you've got key work introducers. Why not just have a report? Or an alert, sorry, not a report. Nobody wants to go and hunt for anything. Have a report, and it pings an alert to the lawyer or the head of marketing or whatever, and it says, look, of these key work introducers that you've identified, these haven't had any correspondence or anything like that in the last 60 days. Yeah. And it's just a prompt to go, why don't you get in touch with that person? Ping them an email, say, how are they? How was the holiday? Should we go out for coffee? Should we go out for a chit chat? Anything like that at all? It's just an excuse to keep at the front face of your key people. I suppose there'd be sort of a gap alerts or whatever you'd like to call them. And you've got other ones that tell you when things do happen. So, for example, if you're a partner, you're perfectly used to doing BD, and you might be a key, you might be a really good networker and a rainmaker or anything like that at all. But let's just presume that you're a very good lawyer and you just like doing lawyer work, and BD isn't at the front of your mind because you were never trained in it when you started off or anything like that. Well, how about having any of these systems? They should be doing, and not all of them do, a weekly alert Monday morning, let's just say, on all the things, if I'm a lawyer, that happened to my contacts last week and that are due to happen this week. So, for example, we've had good experience here by saying, right, This alert is going to show you three things. It's going to show you if any of your colleagues have logged BD against any of your contacts, if any of your contacts have booked onto our webinars or seminars or attended any last week, and if any of your contacts have clicked on links in mail shots that we've sent out in newsletters and alerts and insights or whatever you like to call them. And then actually, rather than just giving them that bit of information, tell them what to do with it. So, for example, if you see that your colleagues have met your contacts or are doing something with your contacts or your clients or companies that you're linked to, why not pick up the phone, drop them an email and say, well, we seem to be dealing with the same person. How can we help each other? Or if one of your contacts books onto a seminar or a webinar, well, if it's a webinar, pick up the phone, drop them an email, because we all know lawyers are a bit more comfortable with email than picking up the phone. And especially if they might think, oh, it might be interrupting them or anything like that. Drop them an email and say, I see you've booked onto XYZ webinar. Why don't I join it as well? And I'll give you a call afterwards and answer any questions you may have. Who's going to ever ask questions in a webinar? You might look silly or anything like that at all. Same with a seminar. You know, you never know how nerve-wracking it might be to come into a big room. So why not, if you spot that your client is coming to an event or one of your prospects, why don't we meet half an hour before and I'll take you into the room, make sure you get there all right. How about that for outstanding client service? Yeah, showing your care. One thing we do tell our lawyers, all the ones that listen to me anyway, is that look, if you spot that one of your contacts has clicked on a link in a mail shop, don't send them an email or pick up the phone and say, I see you read XYZ article. That'll spook them out. But what you can say, what you can say is happen. What you can say is, our team have produced an article on XYZ. I've no idea if marketing department have sent it to you. Would you like me to forward it on? Now, these are all warm conversations because the contacts are showing interest in that thing and you're just following up on that same thing. So that's how to get non-BD professional lawyers doing a tiny bit of BD. Just don't call it BD or sales or anything like that. Just say it's good. It's good contact or client relationship management, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Simon. And I know that your product is called Prompter and you very generously agreed to discount Law Firm Marketing Club members 20% off your product, which is extremely kind. I'd love it if you could tell our listeners a bit about that product and what it does for law firms that's different to the other CRM systems available.
Yep. So the big difference with Prompter compared to any of the big systems are if you buy any of the other big systems, you've got to manage it and look after it and monitor the data yourself. We set up Prompter so that it's a fully managed CRM service. So we install it, we train new users, we onboard new staff, we do all the basic data checks. So, for example, one of the big complaints you'll hear if you've got a big system is there are duplicates everywhere, or the data's old, or anything like that. Well, anyone can spot duplicates. It's about who does it. And we take that on, as well as adding new contacts and tidying them up when they've come in from the email tool, the tracking tool. So the big difference is if your marketing department wants, or BD, want a CRM system and IT haven't got the headcount to support it or install it or manage it or anything like that, that's what we take off your hands as well. So as well as a fully managed service, we can offer insights, we offer help, we offer tips and alerts in the system. They don't all offer, well, not many of them offer tips coming into inboxes for lawyers once a month, let's say. And these are BD tips, not how to add a contact. These are roughly what we've gone over on the chat now. If you see something happening, this is what to do with it. So how to use the CRM system. Now, admittedly, all the other systems, they could put that in if they wanted to. They could manage the data. But it really is a service for if you haven't got the extra capacity or you're not fully... You know, you don't want your lawyers to be doing admin on the database. That's what we take off your hands. So you can have the benefits of CRM. Hardly anyone in your firm has to lift a finger to get them.
And I do remember seeing that demo that you did for us previously at the Law Firm Marketing Club of Prompter, and it is an excellent, really comprehensive solution. So to our listeners, if you'd like to check it out, it's spelled Prompter, and you can head over to the website and find out more and get in contact with Simon directly. Simon, thank you so much for being our guest today on the Law Firm Marketing Club podcast. As always, it's been an absolute pleasure.
You're welcome, Sophia. Lovely to chat to you again.
See you soon.
Cheers.
The Law Firm Marketing Club exists to help UK law firms to do better marketing, and we are currently accepting new members today to our membership organisation. So feel free to email me at sophia@conscious.co.uk if you'd like to find out more information. Thank you for listening to today's episode with Simon, and do feel free to share it with anyone who might be interested at your law firm, and subscribe wherever it is that you're listening to your podcast to stay up to date for future episodes. Until next time.